Welcome to City Valley Church. Our vision is to be a family, loving Jesus, growing together and reaching Yorkshire and the nations. We hope you are encouraged and hear Jesus speak to you as you listen to this recording.
So I'm going to read Matthew 13, verses 1 to 25. That same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever will be given more, whoever has been given will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see what their eyes with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because they hear. For I truly tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
Thank you. That's brilliant. It's great to be here this morning with both the Spring and with Shipley. Last week I was at the Spring and I was talking a bit about our vision, and this wasn't necessarily planned in advance, but this talk is in some ways a part two to that. I'll say a little bit, particularly towards the end, of some of what we might expect to see in Bradford and some of how we work out our vision and our strategy of reaching out. But what was planned is that this is also the start of a new series for Shipley, a series on the parables of Jesus. And when Becky asked me would I introduce this series on the parables, I said, if I'm going to talk about what parables are, I want to do Matthew 13. Because I don't think this is just a good parable. I think this is a great introduction to all the parables. A few months ago, I was being shown around a building that we'd hired for an event, and there was various rooms which I needed to go into, so I needed to have a key for the basement so I could turn the heating on, and I needed to have a key for the kitchen so I could sort refreshments, and I was thinking, he's going to have to give me a lot of keys. But instead, he just gave me one key, and he said, "This is the key to the key cupboard. And with this one, you can then get to all the other keys you might need." And I think Matthew 13, what we've just heard, is like the parable to the parable cupboard. This is a parable about how we listen to parables. And if we pay attention to this one, it will help us open up all the other ones we're going to look at. So we're going to work our way through this passage, and we're going to look at what a parable is, why does Jesus use parables, what's this parable about, and then how do we respond here in Bradford, in Shipley. And then as part of our response, we'll talk about what it means to be reaching the nations, and I'm going to introduce my friend Rich, who's going to share a bit about his work as part of our wider family of churches, and we're going to have a chance to pray for him at the end. But first up, keep your Bibles open in Matthew 13. And in verse 1, it says that that same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. And scripture never wastes a word. So if the Bible's telling us Jesus went out of the house, we need to ask, well, what was he doing in the house? And if we look back in chapters 11 and 12, we see that Jesus has been in this house and he's been surrounded by people who want to listen to his teaching. And it's not been going entirely well. Some people have been testing him. They've been questioning him. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, have been saying, Jesus, we think you might be collaborating with the devil. But inside the house are his followers, the people who trust him and are listening to him. And then outside the house come Jesus' biological family, his mum and his half-brothers, and they're saying, come home, we're not sure that you're actually who you say you are. And so Jesus leaves them outside the house, and he points to the people closest to him, the people who are actually following him, and he says, these people are my real brothers and sisters. And so Jesus is getting this mixed reaction. There's some controversy. And then he goes out of this house and he sits down by the lake. And he's out in the open and he's teaching a crowd. And in the crowd are his disciples, these committed followers who trust him and who are obeying him. And there's maybe some onlookers in the crowd, maybe some people who've heard about Jesus, they've seen a miracle, but they're not quite sure how they're going to respond. And also in the same crowds, there's going to be some of these Pharisees, some of these people who don't like Jesus, who are trying to catch him out. And he tells this whole crowd a story. That's what a parable is. It's a story, a comparison, a juxtaposition, a story that seems to be about one thing, but it's actually got another meaning underneath the surface. And all of Jesus' parables are relatable stories like this one. This one is a story about a farmer, and anyone who lived in that area in Galilee would have seen this kind of thing happen all the time. A farmer goes outside and he throws out seed. And the seeds land in different places, and some of the seed gets lost, and some of it grows up into grain. This is something they would have seen every day. And so he tells this story, and then he says, whoever has ears, let him hear. And the disciples don't get what's going on. They don't understand the story. And they come to him and they ask, why do you speak to the people in parables? And it's a good question. I think that's the question that I would have asked at this point. Why is Jesus not being clear? Why is Jesus not just calling a spade? Why is he using these stories? He hasn't been teaching this way previously, so why has he changed? Why is he suddenly just using parables? They might be saying, Jesus, if you go on teaching like this, then some people might not understand you. But Jesus isn't worried about that at all. And we see in verse 11, he explains. He says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, to the disciples, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more. They will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken away from them. So two things here. First up, he makes it really clear that this is a parable about the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. All Jesus' parables are about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, about what it looks like in the world when God is king, when things are done God's way. And Jesus has come to proclaim, and the big message throughout his life is that the kingdom is here and it's now. You can turn your lives around and recognize Jesus is God's anointed king. And Jesus' kingdom isn't made up of a geographical territory. is made up of all the people who've turned their lives around and who recognize him as king and live life his way. And the kingdom of heaven has been a secret. For so long, people haven't known life with God as king, and they haven't known who Jesus is. And now it's being revealed. The secrets are revealed to these disciples, but they're not being revealed to everyone in the crowd. And so Jesus speaks in parables. I used to think that parables were just about making things easier to understand. But that doesn't really make sense, because some of these parables aren't very easy to understand. And Jesus isn't saying that everyone's going to understand it. He's saying there's people in the crowd who they're going to hear, but they don't really understand. They're going to see, but they're not going to perceive. These parables are like swords. They are going to split things. They're going to divide one thing from another. I now like to think that parables are a bit like in-jokes. An in-joke, a reference, can be really fun if you're in on it. If you were there, if you get the reference, if you're part of that group, an in-joke can be hilarious. But if you don't get it, if you're on the outside, the in-joke reveals to you that you're on the outside. Everyone else is laughing, and you don't understand what's so funny. And so it splits people. It shows who are the insiders and who are the outsiders. And parables do this. They make it really easy for some people to understand, and they make it even more difficult for other people. But why? Jesus explains why he's doing this by quoting from Isaiah. 700 years before Jesus came, Isaiah had been a messenger of God. And in Isaiah 6, we read of when Isaiah is called to be God's messenger, called to be a prophet. And Isaiah sees God personally, he receives God's forgiveness, he has this incredible experience where God invites him and he volunteers to carry God's message to the people around him. And God says, okay, here's the message you're going to carry. You're going to warn people, and they aren't going to listen. You're going to spend your whole life announcing that people are going the wrong way, that they're headed for destruction if they don't change direction. And they're all going to ignore you. They'll hear what you're saying, but they won't understand it. They'll see, but they'll never get it. They'll never respond. And so Isaiah does this. He carries God's message. And a tiny number of people in Isaiah's time listen to him. But almost everyone in the nation ignores him. And Isaiah isn't surprised by this, because God had told him from the beginning. He knows that this is the plan. He is going to be rejected, and in rejecting Isaiah, the people will show that they're rejecting God's message, and they'll make it really clear that they are not open to God. And so Isaiah, in sharing this message, is going to expose the state of people's hearts. It's going to expose how they don't want to respond to God. And now Jesus, 700 years later, is experiencing something very similar to what Isaiah experienced. I wonder if it's similar to what we experience. He's bringing a message, and he knows that most people are not going to accept it. And when that happens to me, I get worried. But when that happens to Jesus, he's not worried. This is going to plan. The message he brings is exposing people's hearts. It's showing whether they're open or not. And the parables are making this really clear, because some people get the parables and some people don't. And this is what all parables do. And it's also what this particular parable is about. This is a story about listening to the message of God's kingdom. And Jesus is sitting on the boat and he's speaking to the crowds. And as he speaks, the reactions of the crowd are like the different parts of the soil in the story he's told. He's throwing his message, his seed, out freely. It's landing on people's ears, and then it's exposing the conditions of their hearts. So in verses 19 to 23, he explains what's going on. He says, there's some seed which lands on the path. And that's people who hear the message and they don't accept it, they don't understand it, and almost immediately the devil takes it away. It's as if they'd never heard the message. And the seeds which land on rocky ground. And at first, it starts to grow, but quickly it dies away. There's people who hear the message about Jesus, and at first they get excited, but it's all temporary, it's all emotion. They get so excited to follow Jesus, but as soon as life becomes difficult, as soon as following Jesus is hard, they give up, and they turn away. There's seeds which lands among the thorns, and the seed starts to grow, but around it, the thorns and the weeds are growing as well. There are people who hear and understand the message about God's kingdom, but the worries of life or the deceitfulness of wealth choke it. They become so worried about themselves or so comfortable in the riches they have that they rely on themselves, and their obedience to Jesus is slowly strangled by the weeds until they die away. But here's the good bit. There's some seed which falls on good soil. Some people hear the words and they understand it. And they will produce a crop of 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. So parables are always stories. They're always these comparisons. They're always about God's kingdom. And they will always function as in-jokes, as dividers. They'll show that some people are willing to listen and accept Jesus' message, and some people will not. So how do we respond to this? Well, I think our response will be very similar to the response of the disciples when they first heard this explained to them. And Jesus' words in verse 16 and 17 say that the disciples should be celebrating. He says, blessed, that means happy, fortunate, favored. Blessed are your eyes because they see, your ears because they hear. The disciples' first response is they need to celebrate. They are in on the joke. For centuries, people have been waiting to see who God would send as king. And now the disciples have it. They have him in front of their eyes, and somehow they're able to understand. How wonderful this is. And it's not because the disciples were so great. The disciples were just like soil. That's how the Bible talks about humans. We're just dust and soil that God has breathed his life into. The disciples were just like soil until Jesus turned up and allowed the message to fall on them. Elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus will talk about himself as like a seed. If we followed Isaiah 6 further along, we'd see that Jesus is going to be like a seed, a little green shoot in the stump of a tree when everything else has been burnt away. And God sent down Jesus onto the soil, and humanity buried him. We killed him, we buried him, but the moment he was buried, he could start rising up. And if we've been open to Jesus' message, if we've received Jesus himself, things are going to grow. We're going to receive this new life. And there's so much more riches of God's kingdom for us to go into. And of course, this challenges us to keep being good soil. If we've received the message and we've understood who he is, we need to take it seriously. Put down some roots. Watch out for weeds. Don't let ourselves get strangled by the distractions in life. And then it gives us a further response. Seeds that grow will naturally make more seeds. I picked this morning, and it used to be a seed. But naturally, it's grown, and now it's dozens, could be hundreds of seeds. And all I have to do is, and they could go anywhere. And I'll have to clear those up later. But naturally, if a seed lands in good soil, it will grow into something that carries loads more seeds. And this middle section of Matthew's Gospel is a bit of a training time for the disciples. Jesus has sent them out to do his work, to carry his message, and then they come back and they get some more training and coaching, and then he's going to send them out again. These disciples are going to do the work of sowing more seeds. And when Jesus explains this story, he doesn't talk about how talented the sower is, what a good farmer he is. He talks about how powerful the seed is. And there's a picture of the disciples. If they've received the message, then they're going to be throwing it out to other people. And they don't need to worry when lots of people reject it. And we don't need to worry If we're alive in Jesus, we can throw out the seed and people will reject us, but it's all going to plan. So what does it look like to throw out the seed in Shipley and in Bradford? Already we've seen a multiplication. As Becky was saying earlier, we started as a tiny group of people in Shipley and now we're a church in three locations, and God has worked through us, partly because he enabled us to not keep our seeds in one place, but to throw them out generously. In Shipley, I know you ran Alpha recently, and I think there's plans to run Alpha again later in the year. And so what could scattering widely look like? Is it inviting everyone you know to Alpha? The family and the friends who, they don't seem to be that interested, but you just give them an invite anyway. Because we don't really know until we go. In the spring, we are regularly going out into Bradford City Centre, and we offer to pray for people, and we try and start conversations about Jesus. And it's so easy. Almost every week, I look at someone and think, oh, I won't bother approaching that person. They look like they're not going to respond. But then I think, before I responded to Jesus, did I look like the sort of person who would respond to Jesus? Well, of course I didn't. I was just soil. Soil doesn't look like anything until you throw a seed on it. We won't know who is going to respond until we scatter the seed widely. And then if we see seedlings start to grow, we'll invest in them, we'll water them, we'll nurture them, we'll do whatever we can to get rid of the weeds and see people grow, and we won't know which ones are going to bear fruit in the end. But the pressure's not on us. It's God's field. But we know that in the end, some will bear fruit. Joe Capolio writes that there will ultimately be a very rich harvest. If it's not seen in this lifetime, it will certainly come at the end of time. At the final harvest, the ingathering of God's people when Jesus returns. Already we have seen a multiplication, and we expect that we will see more, but we won't know what the fruit is until the very end. Part of our vision is to reach Yorkshire, and already we have multiplied from one site into three, and we're expecting to multiply into more. Great to hear Becky talking about our prayer is that we see more prayer groups. Our prayer is that we plant more sites. But another part of our vision is reaching the nations. And we recognize that around the world there are patches of soil which have never had seed thrown in it. There are people who have never heard the message about Jesus. And so we reach out to the nations, and the nations reach us and are a blessing to us, partly by being part of a wider family of churches. And over the last few years, I've been doing some training and making friends within the Unreached Network, which is a network of people from our family of churches who are scattering God's word, particularly in places where very few people have had an opportunity to hear the message about Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We pray you have been blessed by this talk today. If you would like to know more about our church, where we meet, or would like to speak with someone from City Valley, please visit our website at cityvalley.org.